Stanley Foster Reel 3. So the, I mean, the people in the concentration camp at Sertogenbosch, I mean, what state were they in?
Well, really, actually, it was undescribable, you know, to see people like it, you know. You wouldn't think people could treat people like it. I think it upset more, I think it made you more ardent against Germans than anything, you know.
What sort of people were in there? Was it old people?
Old people and anything else.
Children?
Yeah, I don't think many prisoners were taken after that.
Really?
Well, that's the sort of thing that happens, you see. Yeah. You see this sort of thing and
I mean, they were starving, were they?
Oh.
Yeah. Did they have injuries as well?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They'd have been badly.
Badly. Mm. And of course, they treated the French better than they did the Dutch. For some unknown reason, I don't know.
Strange, yeah. So, going into Sertogenbosch and seeing the concentration camp and so on, what else did you do at Sertogenbosch?
Well, they helped clear up, you know, a lot of the things. And then we went up the corridor then. That's where I said it the wrong way around. Mm. We went up the corridor, and then we came back for a rest. And, after we were in Brussels, and then they had this breakthrough in the Ardennes, and then we were.
So
then,
your leave was. Did you get your leave, or was
well,
it?
Well, it was more or less. You had to go up. You go. You get sent in. Like Conway, up to so far, and then up so far, you go up the line, until you get up to your own company. And then we got up to the Ardennes, up to, up in the cold. It was really cold up there. You were going from this to -6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Really cold. But so according to the all this history we got here, I tried to find it the other day. My father had a letter from when I was wounded over up there. And I was wounded in December, and yet according to one of the historians on here the other day, we didn't go into the Ardennes until January.
Oh, right.
Now, who the heck did my father get a word ago? I was wounded on the 24th of December, because we took over from the Americans. Because they couldn't hold them.
Yeah. So do you know where you went into the Ardennes?
It was before Christmas, about a week before Christmas it was.
Mm. Do you know whereabouts you went in?
Not all fine, because everything was.
Okay. So what was the land like, and what were the conditions like?
Snow, ice. Thick snow, and then you had hills that, you know, you took over from, and if someone got wounded, he didn't bleed, the blood would freeze. That would be it.
Sorry, if someone got wounded?
He wouldn't bleed very much, because the blood would freeze. And when you came off duty, you had to walk around. You couldn't keep warm.
Right.
It was very cold. And we took over from the Americans, and the Americans, I think we had about 10 men to a section, and they had about 20.
Really?
So we had less men to cover them, but we were pretty good at static fighting. Mm. But, and of course, they really, a lot of the Germans were posing as Americans.
Really?
And, oh yeah.
You were told that, were you? And told to look out for them.
Oh, yeah, we're told to look out for any. We took over in the middle of the night. I said, the next day, anybody comes dressed as Americans, it won't be us.
And did any come?
Oh, yeah. What they were doing, they were going to the crossroads, you see, and say, you go that way. And, of course, they were put the convoy the wrong way.
So did you see some of these Germans dressed up as Americans?
Yeah, it was,
you saw them yourself, yeah. So what did you do with them? Did you shoot them all?
But you were good. Some were shot, but some were captured as well, because they wanted to interrogate them. That's the main thing. If you make them talk.
But so where had they got the American uniforms from? Were they captured?
Well,
they captured them
and then they took them over.
So what was the countryside like in the Ardennes? What sort of
snow, icing.
Was it hilly or flat?
Hilly.
Or?
Yeah, they had down the depth and then about another side. And we were in A Company then, so we were all finished up. The man who was driving the brain gun car, I was alongside of him, and we started going up towards a forward company with ammunition and tea, all in the back of the brain gun car, and we got mortared.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I know he just stopped the car and got out and ran. But he's out in the snow. I thought, well, he's out there and gets a mortar. So I took a car on. And I got up the top of this hill, and there was a couple of tanks knocked out with mines. So I went alongside them, delivered the food and ammunition and all that. And then the colonel up there said to me, the officer up there said, you better hang on to an early dust before you go back. And he added somebody else to take back with me. But luckily, 3 days before this, I had re-sandbagged the carrier. Mm. Couldn't find out what happened to the driver. So I never saw him again, because when I started going back, I went back another way. And I suppose I must have got about a quarter mile down, and bang, I went. I went over a landmine.
Oh, right.
And that was the... I ended up in the hospital. Mm. And in Lille, that was. Mm.
So, the sandbags, so do you put them inside the...
You put them under the seat. Under the seat, you put the sandbags and things like that.
Right. Do you think they saved your life?
Mm-hmm. I saved, yeah. Saved a lot of them.
Didn't the army put them there? You had to put them in yourself, yeah,
well, you put them in yourself, like, you know. Mm.
So, how armoured was a Bren gun carrier? What was it like?
Oh, one was more than a quarter inch thick, so of course you see where you sit where you got your pedals and stuff, all that, whatever. But
how quickly could you get out of them? Quite quickly.
Well, you get out of them really quick, yeah. They put a round piece up there one time because one turned over and caught some of the legs on the people. But it wasn't until I got back to hospital, and I couldn't find. I said there was something wrong with my ears. I can talk to you, all right? But if I got a crowd of people in it, it'd be all. So they decided to let me climb this rope. Climb up this rope.
Uh-huh.
And I fell down. So then this officer took me in a room, and he said, close your eyes tight, and I fell over, and then he examined my ears. Yeah.
To your balance.
Hmm.
Yeah. So what was it like to be blown up? Do you remember it?
I had a canvas roof, I went through that one.
You had a canvas roof and you went through it?
Went through it, yeah.
Really? Yeah. So what other injuries did you have?
Well, he gets a little bit cut in the leg and things like that. Mm. But other than that.
Mm. Were you knocked out or?
Well, yeah, I was unconscious.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't think there was much wrong with me until they told me, shut my eyes, didn't they? And then they downgrade you then to B1. Mm.
So how did you, who took you to hospital? Do you remember being picked up?
No, I don't remember. They had their, I think I'd come around him. Yeah, ramshackle old Red Cross, the old Red Cross things. They were bone shakers, they were.
Oh, one of the ambulances.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They were just lorries, were they, more or less?
We went to this big hospital in Lille, and a beautiful place it was.
It was a proper building, was it?
Proper hospital, yeah.
Right. So that was in Lille. Who were the doctors? Were they army doctors or were they
army doctors? Yeah, army doctors.
And all the nurses, were they?
Army nurses.
What, Queen Alexander's or?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What was the treatment like there?
Well, very good. Very, very sympathetic. Oh yeah, you had a lady to attend to, mine, when the officers came out. And things like that.
So what was the atmosphere like? Because you were all soldiers in there, were you?
Hmm. Mm. And, well, then they decided what to do. Send you back to Plody. And then you go back to what they call the echelon. And then they decide to find what job they can give you in England.
Right.
When they send you back. Right.
So did you get sent back to England?
I got sent back to England and I went to Clacton-on-Sea.
Right. So how long were you in the hospital in Lille?
About a month, I think. Mm.
There must have been some quite badly injured people there, weren't there?
Yeah. Mm. But at least they didn't have to go back to England. See, when they first got wounded, they all had to go back to England before they could get treatment. Mm. Ken knew he had to go back to England. And then you had to go back again. Yeah.
So you got sent back to England, so you were quite relieved, were you?
It was nice to... I think it was there when... look at him. When were you taking, was it? Must have been. Yeah, I think it was there. Because I didn't go to Nottingham until later.
Right, okay. So did you get some home leave? Did you come and see your parents?
Yeah, I came and see my parents.
What did they think about you being blown up?
Oh, well, they were worried at the time, but other than that. And,
so how long leave did you get?
14 days you get. 14 days.
Okay. And then you had to report to Clacton, did you?
And then I went back to Clacton and they sent us to Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the Royal Army Service Corps was doing the Army Postal Service. But they made up their own section of drivers and things. And they put us there. And that's where I met the boy.
Oh, right. Just write down this place.
He was in the touring office.
Right, in Nottingham.
In Nottingham.
Right, and you were with the Royal Army Service Corps, were you?
No, the engineers.
Right. Oh, right. So in Nottingham, you were sent to the Royal Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got to get this written down, that's right. And what were your duties there at the Royal Engineers?
Driver. Well,
you were driving?
Yeah, and then I went on to the... rations department.
So what did you think about doing that? I mean, it was a bit of a change, wasn't it? From
I think by this time the VE day come up this time.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what did you hear about VE day? Was that a big celebration?
Yeah, it was Nottingham, Clacton, I was, had a boat set to sea and all these... Oh, big things in a way.
You had
the boats out in Clacton out in the water.
Yeah.
They were letting off, rockets and things like that. Uh-huh.
So you were in barracks at Clacton, were you?
No, they had little huts, the holiday chalets.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which that must have been quite comfortable, was it?
No, well, it was very comfortable. You go down swimming every day.
Yeah. So that was summer, of course, wasn't it? So when you were at Clacton, were you still in the Oxen Box?
You're still in the Oxen Box.
Yeah, right, okay.
When I transfer the RE, I transfer the REs on 18th of the 10th, 45.
Precise, isn't it? So had you lost touch with all the people you would come up through France with?
Yes, I didn't see actually Ken knew. Working up the garage, I mean, he happened to come in, and I hadn't seen him since the like war, and he joined with me. Mm. He went over and he got wounded, and I think he got wounded in Antwerp, came back, got his wound seen, and then went back again. Then he went right through to Germany. And then I think he went to the Middle East afterwards.
Uh-huh. So, how long did you stay in Nottingham?
So, 18th of the 10th, 45, till 23rd of the 8th, 47.
Right. And that's when you were demobbed, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. What was it like in Nottingham? What where were you billeted there?
Oh, we had belonged to Viola and Dyla, all these people that had like sort of factories. You know the Viola people and the you know clothes people.
Yes.
They were that's where they had all these places for the
it was all mills.
Mills, that's right.
Yeah. And you were living in those?
Yeah, you're living in them.
Right.
In fact they used to the sorting office was in Hickings. And they had a big place where the lorries went in, you know. Of course, you got all the mail out and took it to the station and things like that.
This was all army mail, wasn't
all
it?
All army mail,
right.
Yeah.
So you didn't do any sorting?
No. They, the girls did all the sorting. Uh-huh. They all hand-sorted. Yeah.
So you were driving from mm-hmm. the sorting office to the station?
That's right. They had four or five places. They had Sunrise. I got a picture of where Mum was in Wilford, that's still standing. And she was in a big house called Wilford. And we were opposite, and we had a little place there with a couple of lorries. And well, that's still standing, but it's something else now.
Yeah. And that's where you met your wife in Nottingham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So you were there for a while, and
yeah.
You obviously enjoyed it.
And we got married, didn't we? Married in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And,
so, you were abroad for a fair while, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think you... was it anything like you'd imagined war would be?
Not... well, I suppose it was, really, because... Not so much as when you see the First World War. Not so, you know, because it was more or less different sort of thing. Where that was like head, this was more or less pinching movements going on, things like that. Mm. Like when we got up that corridor, it was only about 4 or 5 miles wide. And any minute you could be cut off, and you had a, you know, it's surprising.
Can you tell me, while you were in Europe, about the stuff, what they call the establishment, don't they? How you got your commands and how you fitted into the company?
I mean,
You had a sergeant, did you, above you, or a corporal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to... I always remember one... CSM, the company sergeant major.
Mm-hmm.
His idea was, he took it for drill, he said, right, I've got you for an hour. Or, it's up to you, I've got you for half an hour. In other words, do your damnedest, and everybody did their damnedest. And then nobody put a foot wrong. And after half an hour, you got them permission to... You have a way of getting you to do, you know, by, you know, more or less bribing you, if you know what I mean, but you had a way of doing it.
But
and it's the same with that Colonel Howard, when you were being mortared and things like that, is communist. Because we got dug in and a mortar came by near the Brengen was outside. And it got blown up. And you heard this officer riding on about the gun to put. I said, what you running out about? He said, the gun's gone. He said, he got a new gun. He said, he can't get a new man. And that's the Tory man he was. He's still living. He is still living in Scotland. Mm. Mm.
So you all thought quite well of him, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You all liked him.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. He was a man's man. You know, you could... Well, you follow him anywhere. But the other one was horse on horse. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, they used to do that. When you used to have you running around the woodgo, because it's a lively place, you knew it. But we went up to Horse Guards Parade to see the last retreat up there.
When was that?
4 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they took our ladies in the van up there. Mm. Mm.
In fact, so, can you remember any other officers' names or individual officers?
Yeah, we had that one called the messages. Where was it here? He went with the Horde of France. And more for us. Hmm? Oh, Hare was our Lieutenant Colonel.
Sorry.
That's one that was killed.
Lieutenant Colonel Hare.
That was one that was killed.
The one that was killed, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right. What was he like?
He was, well, a very good officer, but more or less led from the rear.
Yeah, uh-huh. So you didn't like him so much then, you know, the men weren't so impressed. Uh-huh. What about your sergeants?
They were quite all right, they just kept you, I'm trying to think. Captain Morley, he went with
Captain
us.
Captain Morley?
Yeah, he went with us over to, we're into France.
Yeah.
We went back to France for reunion. All paid for by the Lille de France. That's right. The proprietors of the newspaper. It was their anniversary. Because it was their anniversary, they helped to pay for. I think it's 400.
Oh, right, yeah.
400.
What sort of a chap was Captain Morley?
Very good, very good, you know. Was he? Down to earth, you know.
Was he?
Hmm.
Was he a posh-spoken chap, or...?
No, we did have one of the Norton motorcycle company. I don't think he went abroad in the end. It was Captain Norton. He was family, you know, the Norton motorbike. He was there. He trained us and all that, but I don't think he went abroad.
Uh-huh. So Captain Morley was all right. He went to Europe, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
was he still there when you left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course they get what happened? They get seconded. They did various you know, they're with us 1 minute, then they go to somewhere else. And 1 minute you got them, the next minute you haven't got them. This is.
What did you think of your officers in general? Did you think they were really good at their job? You know, when you were in Europe, did you feel confident that you...
Oh, yeah, I think we just, you know, just... always were very, I think it was someone like Montgomery, you know, they wouldn't put you into it unless they were ready for it. You know?
What did you think of Montgomery?
Well, I think... He made sure he had the stuff there before he went through. Before, so you could go into battle and then they'll find you got half of it there, like, you know. The trouble. And, because, I remember when I was in the Home Guard, I had a Lewis gun. There's 22 stoppages on a Lewis gun. Just when you're firing a gun, You got 22 stoppages on it. You got to try to sort that out halfway through firing the thing.
So Montgomery was, you all thought quite well of him, did you? Mm.
Where we didn't want to go was when the Americans' long range guns opened up. They didn't do ours like ours, you know, left and right, you know. They just fired anything that was there. Just woof, woof. Didn't seem to.
So you didn't think a lot of the Americans' tactics?
They were always going forward in a big group, but not, they weren't any good at static fighting.
Did you ever meet any American soldiers? We met.
Where
was that?
When we relieved them at coming out of the line, like, you know, at
the Ardennes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I think it's horrible with them. You see, they don't get that when they dig their foxhole, they dig a hole, one. And they're not in contact with someone, you know. Their next vertigo could be about 100 yards up the road. And
so they'd all be on their own?
Yeah. They had foxholes and we had trenches. Where you had three or four together, like. I don't think that helped, you know.
Mm. What else did they do differently? What else did they do differently?
A bit bombastic, I think.
What was their equipment like in clothing?
Oh, yeah, the clothing was a lot better than ours.
Was it?
Yeah, in fact, we had some men came out to us to relieve us out in the Ardennes from the Middle East. And soon they, of course, they came from the summer to the winter and came out there. And then soon they got up there and they went right down with malaria.
Really?
Well, because they'd gone from one to the other, gone very fast. Mm-hmm. Didn't they, you know? I didn't.
Did you get lots of extra clothing when you went to the Ardennes?
No.
Because it was snow on the ground.
No extra clothing.
Terrible weather, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what did you have to wear then? You had your overcoat. Didn't
yeah,
you?
You had to keep your overcoat on. Yeah. But you had to walk around and keep the circulation going. Yeah.
Did you have extra socks or shoes, boots or?
No. You could put an extra pair of socks on and whether you get your boots on.
Because it was below freezing all the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Day and night.
Mm.
So did they issue extra gloves or mittens or
no fur hats? No.
You just had the same thing you set off in July?
The 1st Battalion, they had the Rose Divi, which is three. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, three brigades, plus they had the armoured, they had the air division. We had nearly about 2.5 divisions up there, yet we weren't mentioned in the Ardennes.
Yeah. 53rd always got forgotten, didn't they?
Yeah, but the whole lot of the English.
Yeah.
According to Americans, weren't in the...
Must be right, we've seen the film, haven't we?
Mm. This is it.
So did you manage to sleep in the Ardennes in that cold?
No, you just had to keep awake. Mm. You didn't go to sleep.
Really? Why?
If you could find a bit of a hut. There was places like where they had little houses that they took over. Then you could get in. If you can get in then and get some heat going. But it was very uncanny because with the workers coming through as Americans as well, it was very uncanny there. So uncanny, unbelievable at times. Just imagine them coming through and trying to get through, like.